back to Kelly because she was first in. Okay, Kelly, what's been going on in the last week and a half, Miss Sleepyhead?
It's springtime on your ranch. That means there's calves being born and lambs being born and excited people coming to ride, and the snow is melting and it's very busy.
Wow. Wow. How's the aches and pains thing going?
I've been trying to remember to be curious and willing to learn what they're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
Most days that helps to reduce their presence.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Let's see if we can get it a bit more effortless than that by getting at some of the other stuff underneath it.
Sounds good.
Trish, we just spoke to you a minute ago. Are you able to find the willingness feeling? Is that why you think it's a bit easier, even though it's a big stirred up pot?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't realise I was still on, so I've just put a biscuit in my mouth.
You weren't still on. I opened you back up again.
Oh, okay. Okay, I've swallowed now.
Okay, I'll close you down in deference to your biscuit. Robin, how are you, sunshine?
Yeah, I'm okay. A bit frazzled, but now I can sit here and breathe, so that's all right.
Okay, so has anything in particular been going on since our last call together?
I'd have to say I've been very up and down, which is unlike me. Some days are brilliant, other days, yes, less so, shall we say.
Huh. On the, do you know what the down days were about?
Surface-wise, yes, but the reaction is more than I'd usually give them.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to see what the paradox work does with that. Julie, I'll give you another go. Have you got sound yet, sunshine? Al's in the chat room. G'day, sunshine. Okay. Okay, Costanza, I know you've had big stuff going on over this week and a half.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're not the only one. The others just aren't on the call yet. You know, they'll be on Thursday's call. Because Thursday's call works better for a lot of the world. Well, that's why I do two separate times. Are you up for talking about it?
Oh, yeah. I said my head's really woolly tonight. I think I got about 3 hours sleep last night. So
yeah.
If I stutter and stumble, that's why I'm not connecting all that well.
Cool. So you had massive. Progress in the first week, and then you kind of held that for a little while, and then it's gone backwards and you're back into having panic attacks in the middle of the night. Is that right?
Yeah. Last night was a doozy, you know, because I sort of thought I kind of got somewhere and, I don't know, made a breakthrough or something, I don't know, it just seemed to have changed. And then last night I was just straight back in there. And woke up at 3:30 and with my heart pounding and just could not get it to settle again. It was really weird.
Okay.
And nothing coming into my head at all. It was, the one thing that's shifted is that the panic attacks are a bit stronger while I'm awake, which I kind of take as a good thing, because I suspect I was probably just stuffing it down, and now it's more to the forefront, and I'm thinking, okay, hello, Patty.
Okay. So, the big deal is that listening to your inner guidance system made a huge difference. The asshole stuff, all jokes aside, that helped heaps. And tonight's paradox work, I think, is going to open up a big part of the picture for you.
Okay, well, I'm well and truly ready for another opening. This is not a lot of fun.
No, especially not when you've had a breakthrough and relief from it. It's like, what the hell?
How dare
you come back?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a sense used to it, because I've had so many setbacks for so many years. I just don't, my initial reaction is to get really frustrated, and then I just kind of think, oh, yep, here we go again. That's okay. Righto. It's just back to just waiting it out and, for the next opening.
I always think of frustration as being a really valuable emotion when I can open up to it. You got to know I spent 48 years stuck in it.
Yeah, wow.
Do you know what the definition of frustration is? Doing the same thing over and over again in the same way and expecting it to turn out differently.
That's insanity.
I know.
Yeah.
It's also the definition of insanity. What that's meant for me is, look, that was so powerful for me that I remember where I was. I remember sitting at the desk. I can picture the room. I can see I was facing the wall. I read that in this book, which was Writing Between the Worlds, one of Linda Cohen-Ogg's first book. And I just dissolved into sobs for about half an hour because I'd spent 48 years doing the same thing over and over again, expecting it to turn out differently. And nobody had ever, this is truly insane, because technically I'm a genius. I got that label when I was a kid. And so I'm not dumb, but I spent 48 years stuck in this loop of a certain part of my life over and over and over again doing the same thing and getting so frustrated and so angry about it. So, it's a useful emotion when we notice it and go, ooh, change, urgently, urgent, cast my eyes around. What am I going to change?
I've been practicing doing that, and sort of when I start feeling yuck, to front up, to instead of stuffing it down or trying to sort of analyze my way out of it with my head, I've been sitting in it and trying to figure out where to from here. Is it And nothing comes, nothing, like, you know, what do I change? Well, I don't know. But if I know.
Carolyn just wrote something for you in the chat room. She said, there's a weird thing that happens. Oh, that's all right. I'm going to read it to you. She said, there's a weird thing that happens as you get into this. Your brain is used to operating in a certain way, and now you're in the process of changing how your synapses fire. Your brain synapses fire. This is called spontaneous recovery, and it's the change place of your mind working in a familiar way to working in a new way, and it's a sign that you're getting it right.
Let me just process that. Slowly, chug, chug, chug. What's the sign that I'm getting it right? That how do I know that I'm getting it right?
I wonder if Carolyn, do you want to see whether Portugal will support you on a live connection? Carolyn's internet in Portugal is quite patchy, so she may or may not.
Canberra is quite patchy.
Wow, in Canberra, patchy. That's ridiculous.
Yes, I know.
Okay. I would have said it's the ups and downs, you know, that you make the breakthrough, that you've you're finding a place where it's possible to you're looking for the willingness, you're finding it often. Yeah, that would be what I would, how I would answer it.
Okay.
But Carolyn said, not so good to come in live because the dogs are noisy with wild pigs around. She's got a little pack of dogs, and by God, when they're noisy, they're noisy. So you wouldn't be able to hear it anyway if they're chasing wild pigs. Okay, so let's read it again. I'll read it again to you. There's a weird thing that there's a actually don't worry about trying to understand. Just drop into feeling inside yourself and soak it up instead of trying to do it intellectually. There's a weird thing that happens as you get into this. Your brain is used to operating in a certain way, and now you're in the process of changing how your synapses fire. This is called spontaneous recovery, and it's the change place from your mind working in a familiar way to working in a new way, and it's a sign that you're getting it right. You're actually in, you're thinking this is the ups and downs and the and stuff are a bad deal, but they're actually, you're getting it right, kiddo.
Okay. I'll take that on faith. Didn't someone else say that you were talking to earlier? Was it that they said
Trish.
That they were going up and down? And no, I don't think it was Trish. The person afterwards, they had a few ups and downs, and that was unusual for them.
Oh, Robin.
Maybe it's just not a thing. That's happening.
Well,
I sort of got a bit bogged down because I was getting a lot of images. When I was sort of tuning into all those ancestral grandmothers, and I could sense this person in particular that I emailed you about who.
Yeah.
I sort of had a sense I wasn't in the family. It was someone that was associated with the family that seem to have put a curse on, I don't know, it was just a lot of really, what's the word? I don't want to say negative energy, but a lot of malice in this person. And and then I got, and so I started matching that person's energy, and maybe that wasn't the right thing, I don't know. I kind of experimented, you know, I tried a few different things.
Oh, super. Trying a few different things is excellent. here's a thought. Yeah. That kind of energy of malice, call it, you know, that's actually a good word, you can vibrate. You can let it flow through you and out the other side, leaving nothing but the understanding behind. So it's only when it gets blocked up in us.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
So it's literally an asshole opportunity.
Yeah, I got that, and I sorry, I'm stuttering. I don't know how I made the connection, but I realised that it's what I've been trying to do with my mother for a long time is exactly what you just said, to kind of let it through to the keeper, and somehow it just sticks like shit to me, and it totally unravels me, totally unravels me, and I've never worked out. How to kind of let dodge it.
Okay. Well, this is I can tell you exactly how you can let it, how I let it flow. Now, we're all going to have our own uniqueness, but for me, it's the understanding of them. When I understand where they're coming from, what's behind their behavior, what's behind the malice, what's behind the rage, what's behind the whatever. Boom, I'm in my heart space, and it literally, there was one gobsmacking time when someone was incredibly angry with me, and for no good reason, well, it was for a good reason, but not, it wasn't something that I had done, but I was a safe pair of hands to deal with the anger that was going to kill her, literally. Somebody who was so filled with rage, and it had been stuffed down, and when she was expressing it at me, and I remember sitting over the, leaning over the kitchen bench, and my whole body shaking as it rolled over me. I got this enormous flash of insight that I actually saved her life that day.
I thought I understood why my mother is the way she is and where she's coming from, and maybe the fact that it's still sticking to me means that I haven't quite understood. But yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're in a process at the moment, so kind of wow, just take a breath, sunshine.
Oh, yeah, breathe.
Yeah, good reminder. Sandra wrote something here for you. She said, maybe you could describe it as some old subconscious beliefs being shaken up. As for previous conversations. Okay, I don't quite get that, Sandra.
I'm glad you said that because I don't either.
her internet is usually okay. I'm going to open her up.
I think.
What do you mean, Sandra?
Can you hear me there now? I just haven't got my
headset.
Yep. Cool. The bit about the previous, because we'd sort of gone on to another bit of the conversation. More like, just with what Caroline was talking about with the spontaneous recovery and that, just that. Sometimes when you've got that big change, you've got these old beliefs that are still saying, hey, what about me? Or, you know, resisting, yeah, like, or not really resisting is not a good word.
Just not quite settled into the new pattern yet.
Yeah, just not quite, just not settled in yet.
Yeah, good way of
Sense that, yeah, like that, like I think Trish has said in the thing, layers of stuff and understanding, yeah, well, those old beliefs are, yeah, part of that, aren't they?
Yep. Okay, well, so did that help? Did that help, Costanza?
I think so. I think so. I'm still processing. Not all of my anxiety and panic attacks are around my mother in particular, but certainly when she, in her great wisdom, decided to move to Canberra, where I thought I was safe because she had said forever that she would never come to Canberra. You know, she kept repeating it, and I kept thinking, phew, thank goodness, I'm safe here. And all of a sudden, here she is on my friggin' doorstep. And my anxiety level just went through the roof ever since.
Yep. Okay, so now the that a person that you're aware of that's not quite ready to make a change, we're just going to relax into the fact that they're not ready to make a change. You know how all the other generations of women have been...
Right.
So did that make sense to you?
Yeah, it did.
So all the other generations of women, you've talked to them and, you know, you've felt into... And you've done it beautifully your way, you know, your unique way. But you came to this person and they're like sitting in the background and they're saying, oh, no, don't come anywhere near me.
You mean this other person?
One with the malice.
Yeah.
So can you just find a place of relaxing around the fact that she's not quite ready yet?
Well, I get this. This sounds really weird, but I get the sense that she's found a venue, you know, a vector in my mother for doing her stuff. And she's saying, well, stuff you, kiddo. I've got this person here who's more than willing and happy to do my stuff for me, so you can just bugger off, kiddo. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, my mother's just like, yeah, yahoo, this works for me. So, you know, I've got this dynamic.
Okay, but just pause for a second. Because this is about you and it's not working for you.
No.
Okay. So just pay gentle attention to your outward breath for a second. What we're actually talking about in the session today, we'll bring it up and we'll talk about it while I step you through some of this. I wrote, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. I wrote, enough of the holy shit stuff, it's time to experience the paradox. Does everything really happen for a reason? Like, we have this trite kind of, you know, it's turned into a trite kind of saying, you know, everything happens for a reason and with a shrug. But does it really? So today I want to talk about crappy circumstances that prompt the change that has to happen for us to reach our goal or dream. So we talked about assholes, and that when we find ourselves profoundly understanding someone whose behaviour has upset or hurt us, that paradox brings inner peace to our lives. but it's crappy circumstances too, not just, you know, people who are acting like assholes. So crappy circumstances that look really yucky and bring up all kinds of upsets in us. A paradox is something that seems contradictory but isn't really. And what I call the paradox, and I often talk about the energy of the paradox, the flow of it, because that's the way that I experience it, but each of you will experience it a bit differently. It's the rightness behind the utter wrongness of even the crappiest circumstances. So just feel into this for a second, Costanza. The rightness behind even the biggest wrongnesses of even the crappiest circumstances. And when we find that rightness, we enter a flow of the universe that just, wow, it does everything from healing to understanding to complete life transformation to, it's a very big deal. Okay, so you don't know yet whether that's true or not. So we're all going to ask ourselves the question this evening, is it true that there's rightness behind? Wow, I've got that freaking tone in my voice. Hang on one second while I just check in where that's coming from. I lost the connection with you, Costanza.
Huh.
Okay, let me just settle back into it again. If there was rightness behind the wrongness of this, let's make it more immediate for you. If there was rightness behind the wrongness of your mother's behaviour, would you want to know? Would you want to find that understanding?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So paying gentle attention. So paying gentle attention to your outward breath. Actually, we're going to make this even easier.
Good. Because my brain is not doing too well.
Yep. Hang on one second. Oh gosh, the energy around this is big. I'm just letting this energy flow and bring up whatever it is I need to.
Oh, that got it going for me anyway.
yeah. See, often it's not the words, it's the feelings. Man, can you feel that, Costanza?
Yeah, I can. I got shivers going up and down my legs and my back.
That is the paradox. That's the energy. That's the energy of the paradox. What you've got is you've got Sandra and Carolyn and I who are sitting in it and making it possible for you to feel it so clearly. Robin is also very skilled in it. Katie's also skilled in it.
So say it again what you said about the rightness and the wrongness and the...
Yeah, so it's...
There's rightness in the wrongness. Is that what it is?
that's the paradox itself. That's what the paradox is, that there's rightness behind the wrongness. But let's make it more specific. Your mother's behaviour is terrible. It's wrong. You know,
labelling it like that. Well, I find it difficult. I don't want to make it wrong, because she does what she does for her own reasons, but I can't deal with it. I just cannot deal with it.
Okay. So let's sit with the whole, I agree with you. Every time I'm looking at something as wrong, I'm in trouble. But how I find the energy of the paradox is to face up to all the feelings around somebody's behaviour and know that there's a rightness behind it, that there's a reason behind it.
For me.
There's some kind of big picture going on. Yeah, and for me and for everybody else. That there's some kind of big picture going on. So in that energy, which is just starting to build again, or that feeling that's just starting to build again?
Yep.
Can you just ask yourself the truth of, is there such a thing as rightness behind the wrongness in even the crappiest circumstances and the greatest arseholes? Or the greatest terrible behaviour? Okay, that lightens you up instead of, that lightens the energy instead of, it kind of almost pulled you out of it.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I can intellectualise it. I can say intellectually, yep, of course. And I can 100% do it with a horse without any trouble at all, or any animal.
Okay, cool.
I struggle when it comes to people.
Okay, come back to your goal for the clinic.
Yeah, absolutely, which was to be the best human I can be for my horse, for my pony.
Okay, so sit with that as your goal. Carolyn and Sandra are typing away here for you. I just want to sit with the paradox for a second. Okay, Carolyn's got a different way of doing it. She starts with asking herself, why do I feel this way about this thing? And then she sits in that space and the understanding about me floats up. And then I can wait for what to do about it to come to me. So I guess it's like creating a paradox space, waiting for the wrongness and the rightness to meet, and then I get the smiley understanding.
Okay, okay. So I've got a smidgen of the smiley and not quite the understanding.
Cool. Wow, what's that feeling in your belly? Can you feel something changing down there?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
It's like a bunch of worms.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Just notice everything about it. get curious about it. What on earth could that feeling be? Well, I know exactly what it is. That's why you can hear the smile in my voice.
Oh, well, do tell. It's I don't know. It just feels like a ball of energy that wants to explode out of me.
Yeah. Guess what, Prudy? That's what? Excitement. That's excitement.
Oh, okay. Hence the smiley. Okay, so, yep, right. Okay, I wish I could understand
So what happens... This is what happens. This is so beautiful. The fear and excitement both run out of the adrenal glands.
Yeah.
And they feel very similar. And when we don't listen to our fear, they kind of, when we don't use our fear as our guidance system, then they collapse together and you can't tell them apart. And so we spend our lives... I'll make this very personal. I spent my life sabotaging myself, literally running away from excitement. So when it starts to separate, which is exactly what's happening in your body at the moment, fear and excitement are starting to separate.
Right. Huh. Mm. Now I'm going to start laughing.
And then, because the aim is to follow the excitement and use the minor parts of fear, the not quite, you know, something's not quite right, to change. And here's the thing, sweetheart. When we've been stuffing down fear, when we didn't know any other way to do it, when we've been stuffing down anger and fear and all that kind of stuff, then we stuff down excitement as well. So a whole stack of the stuff that's been scaring the crap out of us has actually been excitement. A whole stack of that pent up, suppressed energy that's been doing us so much harm is actually... stuck excitement.
Yeah, right.
So now you can really start smiling at those worms which are starting to untangle.
Huh, how amazing.
And they're going off like little synapses in your brain. Bing, 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 bing. See, what this means in terms of being the best you can be for your horse, you know, being able to dance in the excitement with the horse, holy shit, that is so big. You know, when we can flow our excitement and they're flowing theirs, so instead of us jamming the excitement up in them, which is kind of what happens with 99.9% of people. They jam a horse's excitement up.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, she's the feistiest little thing.
So can you imagine actually playing with that excitement and the power in it, like playing with the power in it? Now the energy's starting to, can you feel the energy's actually starting to circulate now instead of being like worms stuck in your stomach in a ball?
The energy's
actually flowing through your body.
Yeah. And you're right, I've been stuffing it down in her too because I just thought, oh my God, you know, I can't let her run around like a bloody crazy idiot like that.
Mm.
She takes off, you know, with her tail stuck in the air and her head stuck in the air and she gallops around. I mean, it's beautiful to watch. It's fantastic. And I think, well, okay, what do I do with this?
Okay, there's this vision. I'll tell you one thing just one technique for dealing with it. A Swedish girl, Anna Karen, was here from Sweden for a clinic, and she used my horse Rapunzel in the clinic. And they got stuck. They were a bit late coming up from the arena for lunch one day, or could have been the end of the day, but I think it was lunch. And she was way behind her paddock mates, like they disappeared off into the distance, and Rapunzel was just coming out of the arena. And she started politely leaping and plunging against the lead rope.
Yeah, that's what mine does, exactly that. Okay. And I know she wants to be let loose and allowed to run, and I think, well,
hang on a second. Hear what I got Anna Karen to do. Anna Karen was in front of me, and I could feel her getting quite disconcerted about the amount of leaping and plunging that was going on in the halter, and I called out to her, dance with her. And Anna Karen sank into piaff. Yeah. So Anna Karen sank her body into piaffing, and they piaffed and passaged all the way up the laneway together.
Ah, that's beautiful.
So the energy flowed. The energy was, Anna Karen flowed the energy of the excitement in her body, and then Rapunzel flowed the excitement of the energy in her body, and it was one of the most beautiful. I'm walking along behind and with tears pouring down my face. This horse had never piaffed in her life.
Yeah, right, wow.
Didn't even know how to do it.
So she didn't let her off the lead. She just did it on the lead.
Yeah.
Why didn't she let her go? Because I'm sure that's what my horse wants me to do, is to let her go in that moment.
It wouldn't have been safe.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't, because, like, we're in this big reserve.
So picture it. Find this in your body right now. Find it in your imagination right now. Feel the flow of that energy and literally drop your tailbone closer to the ground and dance with her.
Huh.
You're literally lifting your legs up. You think of a piaf, think of a passage, think of that beautiful flowing energy of the excitement, the power of it, like, holy shit.
Oh, I know. She does it a lot. She's amazing. She blows me away when she starts it.
Can you feel this in your body while I'm talking about it, Costanza?
Yeah, I can.
There, now you're really feeling it, because now the energy's really rolling. When you've got the energy rolling between in you, and she's got it rolling in her, it rolls between the two of you, and holy shit isn't even a big enough word for it.
Wow.
Okay, you've got what you came to the clinic for. You can go now.
Oh, right, okay.
Huh. I'm pulling
your
leg.
I was expecting, but okay. Good, that sounds like a lot of fun.
There it is. And now can you see why Carolyn and Sandra were trying to tell you that the place you were in was perfect? Because this excitement was just, you know, you've done just enough work and the willingness and all the rest of it to start noticing the difference between excitement and fear.
Yeah, right. Wow. How amazing. I didn't even know that I'd mix them up.
No, most people don't.
No. Huh. Well, that
very
changes
cool.
everything, doesn't it?
Sure does. Sure does. Okay.
Now I get why the horses come to me.
Yeah. Yep. Now, just soak that up. Soak up everything about what your body feels like inside at the moment. And everybody who's kind of feeling the joy with her, soak that up too. Shiva's going
down
my back.
Well, how bloody awesome is that?
I know.
Sorry, you were saying?
Sandra's got an oh my God. Oh my God, her mother had something to do with how good she is with animals now.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. And that's put a whole pile of shivers up and down my legs. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's the rightness in the wrongness.
That's the rightness in the wrongness. Congratulations, sweetheart.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. That's just bloody awesome. Boy, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah. No coincidence why this little one's come to you.
No, I knew that, you know, I knew that. It felt like total madness when I bought her, and I just knew I had to do it. She and I are going somewhere. I've got no idea where, but it's somewhere.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so can you actually feel yourself soaking it up? Because it's the soaking it up that makes this your new normal. It's the soaking it up and noticing everything about how your body feels like in that really smiley place that you're in at the moment. That's what actually reorders those neural pathways.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so everybody else, soak up the smileiness that we're feeling for her. Because that reorders our neural pathways too. Okay, I'm moving on to Donna. Sandra asked if I use the word anchor still. You can consider that what we're doing is anchoring this as our new normal when you soak it up. I had an insight once where I saw the difference between an anchor and kind of like a phoenix being set free. So it's a word that I don't use as much as I used to. But yeah, you could consider that you're anchoring it. Donna, that's you on the 546 number, isn't it?
That's me, Jenny.
Hello.
On 546, who's me?
Hello. Suits with Azalea.
Oh, Sue.
And actually, the paradox has been really interesting because, as you know, you're aware of Azaria and she's had issues with her feet and legs and blah, blah, blah. And for me, this is the perfect paradox, especially with the time. Well, the timing is part of it as well. because actually, as I said to you, for me to actually try and breed with my horses, and I've let them go for a time and that hasn't worked. And so timing wise, here we are again. Here I am wanting a healthy horse, and guess what? The horse is unhealthy. The horse has got looking for tendonitis, actually has seedy toe and abscess pouring out, and it's the totally opposite of what is meant to be. So that's my paradox. Because
no, that's worse. Yeah, just pause. That's the wrongness. Now what's the rightness behind it?
Well, I'm guessing.
Stop. Mental feel is your strength, Sue.
Yeah.
The head stuff is also the stuff that gets in your road. So just pause and pay gentle attention to your outward breath. And allow all of what you're feeling inside. Just kind of flow in your mind. Now, because this is really new work to you, I'm going to make a different suggestion. And that is just to set your intention to understand the rightness behind the wrongness, should it exist. Because right now you don't have any confidence in the process of, you know, is there really a paradox, and is there really this amazing healing energy in the paradox, and is there is there rightness behind this wrongness, is there something that's going to transform my life when I understand it. You don't have any confidence in that yet, and that's as it should be, because you have no experience of it. So ask this differently.
So part of what has happened, as I said to you, these guys haven't bred naturally, but in the wrongness I've actually got someone coming to assist, because I can't do it, and they breed horses, like they will purposely breed, so, you know, in hand. And so I'm actually thinking, well, okay, is this the path? Instead of saying, I'll leave them be to do it naturally, which hasn't worked, is this the path? You know, actually look at my path and say, okay, let's try in hand. And if that doesn't work, go further down the track and say, well, you know, what's happening?
Okay, pause again. Pause again, because these are all intellectual answers.
That's right.
I'm looking for the one that floats up from the inside of you, that's coming from okay, we're going to drop into the paradox energy. And everybody who has this skill already, drop into the energy of the paradox. Carolyn's put a couple of things here for you, Sue. Hang on one second while I get my phone to wake up. She said, what's your quiet voice saying? Not the, you know, and does it feel good? Are you pushing for the end goal? When we push for the end goal, it tends to not feel good. We miss the messages. But again, this is outside of your experience at the moment. So let's pull this down to the heart of it. If there was rightness behind the wrongness of the horses not breeding, the mare being unwell, the feet being a major drama, all of these wrongnesses, if there was a rightness behind them, if there was a reason for it, a big picture for it, would you want to know the answer?
Yes.
Okay. So paying gentle attention to your outward breath, just set your intention to know the truth of the, you've got a strong connection to Earth, Sue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can you feel that connection to the Earth while we're sitting here in silence?
I can feel it better when I'm outside.
Okay. Just set your intention to feel it now. Mm-hmm. Our intentions are incredibly powerful. So an intention is literally just a conscious decision. Okay. I'm going to feel the energy of the earth inside the house. There. That's the same feeling, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Super. That's your inner guidance system that you're feeling. Just allow your attention to wander all over your body and notice everything about it. Sorry, I pulled you out. It's everybody sitting in the feelings of whatever they're feeling inside at the moment.
Now, I'm hesitating. Got a question. Actually, Is it me saying I physically can't do it, so therefore is it something around me? I know that sounds stupid in a sense. With practical things that need to happen, if you know what I'm saying. So would I possibly be interfering, if you know what I'm trying to say?
So you think that the that your inability, well, it did cross my mind when you told me that you were going to breed a foal to wonder how the hell you were going to cope with it. They're a lot of work. They're a lot of very physical work. And you can't... well, actually, that's a silly thing to say. I was going to say you can't like raise them like a Brumby, but you can. But it's not exactly preparing them for a life with humans. Yeah, a domestic life with humans. Carolyn just asked you something. She said, what might that be guiding you to, that feeling? Those words around...
So say with an intention, like subconsciously, how can I put it? So say you have a goal and then you say you want the goal, but subconsciously you might have a few limiting beliefs. And those, they're your blocks. So, you know, it could be a block. This isn't my personal goal. Obviously, it's not meant to be me doing it, but, you know, in the instance. So.
Carolyn's actually wondering if it's the mayor telling you. The mayor saying that you can't do it. Is the mayor guiding you? Okay, so what does that feel like?
I hope not.
Well, we already know she's got a genetic problem. We know that because I did a session on her last week.
So then intellectually that was something to say in that plan to the goal. It's like, okay, in the testing, if it is the mayor, do I then say, well, do I look at getting another mayor for this? Not getting rid of this mayor because she's a lovely little girl, but do I, you know, is this another step, let's say a side step?
Okay, pause. When you think of this goal of breeding a foal, what does it feel like inside? So just pay gentle attention to your outward breath and notice everything about what your body feels like. And what does it feel like to think about breeding a foal? From this end, it's kind of nothing, isn't it? Is there no excitement?
No, I think it's lovely. It's a lovely feeling. Yeah. For me, it hasn't happened, so therefore that might be the nothing, because nothing has happened.
Okay, drop back into this energy again. See, when we have a goal that involves someone else, like this involves a horse, it has to be a goal that they want too.
Mm-hmm.
if it's not in harmony with them, then we're set up for struggle. It's like I'm just trying to think of another example. You know, it's two beings kind of pulling in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of her having a foal, what does it feel like?
When I think, I actually think she doesn't want to have a foal.
Yeah. So what did it feel like when you said that? Carolyn says she can hear somebody else's voice in the background, loving the idea of a foal. Who in the background? Who is it in the background? Who loves the idea of a foal?
The guy would love a foal. So the guy would love a foal. So, yeah. I think I've told you previously the foal that would have been after her was actually stillborn. So maybe she's experienced seeing her dam suffer, we'll call it suffer. And maybe something's put her off, if you know, yeah.
There's definitely a genetic energy around around this mare.
Mm.
That's not to say that genetic predispositions doesn't mean we have to go there, but it sure as hell means that we've got to listen. Wow, there's some very interesting goal energy here. So if she doesn't want a foal, are you open to the idea that she doesn't have one?
Well, if it has to be, it has to be, if you know what I'm saying. I've been beginning to think the last few days that perhaps if she doesn't have one and she made, this is a perhaps, she saw another one haven't won successfully and happily, then her disposition may change a little. And maybe actually she needs another, like I'm not trying to convince myself to get another mare. But maybe she does need more female company so that she's got girl company, if you know what I'm saying. So
Sandra's articulated what's on my mind and what I've already expressed, but she's articulated it differently. She said, what's the big picture about the foal? What's the goal for it once it's grown?
So these guys are Arabs and actually continue the breed and to continue the line of their genetics. Yeah. So, and this was the other half of this course because, as you know, I've got a physical disability. So if I had this miracle and all of a sudden I could move and do things, well, then obviously my relationship with a horse would be a different one. So, and it would be more involved. So it's sort of a two-part.
So there's Carolyn says those words that you used, continuing the line, that's not your voice. who is it that you're, whose energy are you picking up on?
So it's continuing their line, so that's their genetics.
Yep. Who did you first hear use those words?
What's the terminology?
Yeah, I know that. Okay. So rather than a goal around the horses, hang on a second. This is pulling us off. This is kind of pulling us off task today. And I'm just trying to think how best. I'm just trying to think how best. Can you write down for me a goal for the clinic that feels really exciting for you? That when you feel into it, that you feel into it, bubbles up.
So that was my goal. And then also to be able to ride a horse again was my goal. But as I said, that's a two-part. For one thing to happen, something else would have to happen.
Okay. So does it feel really good to think about riding again?
Yeah. Thinking about it's good. Great. Yeah.
Okay. Sandra, I'm opening you up. I can hear you giggling away in the background.
Actually, now I've just lost my train of thought. When Sue's talking about riding, which is beautiful, which horse comes to mind? The horse that comes to mind?
Can you say that again?
Is there a horse that comes to mind when you think about riding again?
No.
So none of the ones that you have now are...
it's not a predetermined goal, so...
So you have to attract the right horse as well as the body stuff.
Well, if I could ride, well, actually, I probably, so if I could ride a horse, I would ride both. I've got two horses, so I would ride both, yeah.
Are they both saddle horses?
No, yeah.
Which one's putting its hand up to help you? What is this?
You think I've got a horse that wants to be ridden? The guy would love to be ridden.
Not necessarily.
More that it may not be a horse you have now. I'm just thinking, is there a horse that's going to help you on that journey to get to that stage?
But for me, I've got to get myself to a point to be able to sit on a horse. And to be able to move and walk and, like Jenny said, lift my leg. Or not me, but if you're dancing with your horse, you've got to be able to lift your legs. Okay, I've got it. Sue, do you think it's possible? It's all right, I'll close you back down again, Sandra. Sue, do you think it's possible to actually recover your body enough to ride again?
Well, this is why I'm doing this clinic with you, because, as I said, I've got an open mind. So
you didn't answer my question.
So mentally,
Do you think it's possible to recover?
So this is an interesting. So I can think I'd like to do things, and I can think I'd like to recover, but then I sort of experience.
Stop. Feel that pressure in your solar plexus. Can you feel it?
No.
Okay. Well, I am, so I'm just going to sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's your intention. We're going to completely come at this from a completely different angle. Here's your intention. I'm just letting the right words flow up. Okay, the powers around the really powerful energy is around relaxing around the idea of whether you can recover or not. Okay, set your intention. See if this feels good. To set your intention to relax around, to find a comfort zone around the idea of recovering or not. Mm-hmm. It's like taking the pressure off yourself.
Now I can feel the solar plexus.
Just pay gentle attention to that. So in terms of a lesson for everyone else here, the comfort zone is everything. You know, the more we push for something, the harder it is, the more we struggle, which is kind of the opposite to what we got taught. Katie, you're busting to join into this. I'm opening you up. Was I right? You were busting to join in?
thanks, Jen. Busting to join in. Oh, I love your flow, madam. I love it. I love how intuitively you just kind of, okay, we're over this side of it now, and then it's going this way, and this is nice, and there's a little boulder. We'll go around that, and I just feel everything and the energy just moving. It's really beautiful. And isn't that what it's about, you know, being able to just flow with it and be okay with whatever comes up? That was really big about what you just said with the acceptance. The acceptance of where aloneness, where I'm at, may not be where I want to be, but there can be rightness in my point of where I'm at now instead of the wrongness of it and the journey. That's my goal, to enjoy the journey.
Wow, there's another possible intent there, Sue, to enjoy the journey to recovery.
That's a big one.
What does that idea feel like?
If it works, it'd be good. So, and that's what I was going to say before. It was like you saying with the rake, raking up the poo, if you had your arms out too far, you actually had to bring them back to your body. It's I suppose it's a learning. It's a very, that way is a very slow process, but it's learning what you can physically do and what's right without overdoing it, if you know what I'm saying. And building up on that. Slowly. It may take a long time.
So can you feel your solar plexus tight now? Can you feel that tension in your solar plexus?
Yeah, it's still a bit tight.
Okay, so is it a good tight feeling? Because right through that part of your body is actually your core. Is that what you're feeling, a tension in your core, a right kind of tension in your core as you're sitting there?
No, I've had some terrible back pain today, so that's separate to...
Not today. I'm not interested in today. I'm interested in right now. Right now.
No, it's a different... So it's up high, so it's up near my ribs. And my core, I need my actual core. I need, well, it's all the way down. As you know, it's all connected.
Yeah, but it's got to start. But it's got to start somewhere.
No, I wouldn't say it's a relaxed. What would you call it? Rightness. Yeah.
Hmm.
Can I just share something for a second? I was just feeling into with them. The rightness of enjoying the journey. I don't know if this might help anyone else. I don't know. Whenever I get these insights, I always laugh at how simplistic and how obvious it is after the fact. Mm. But with the journey with me, my journeys can be years. My journeys for my heart's desire can be years. And in that, I've personally just noticed that I've created these, I was thinking about Jenny with the rapids and moving around the rocks with the emotional side. And I have kind of been bouncing into and smacking myself around on the rocks while I'm going down the journey of the river, and made it harder on myself and losing that connection with the frustration and really not enjoying the journey at all. So making it a lot harder on myself with that process. Maybe that's why it takes years, because I keep bashing myself around with it. But just relaxing into it is a really big thing for me, I feel. And trusting the process.
Mm. So Sue, did one of those intentions feel comfortable for you?
So the journey sounds good, but the years, it's already been years. So Yeah, the years.
Life is a journey. It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
The change doesn't stop.
Maybe that is my journey. Learning that my journey is a journey, and it's not just a goal.
Just pay gentle attention to that feeling in your solar plexus and see if you can find a sweet kind of curiosity about what it is. Catherine, I'm opening you up too. Good day, Sunshine.
Hello, how are you?
Cool. So what are you feeling while Sue's working her way through this intention stuff? What are you feeling in your body?
I don't know. It's sort of like up and down. It's a bit like a roller coaster, I feel. Like you're calm, yep. And then it's not, and then it's not. Yeah, and then it gets calm, and then it's flustered, and then it's calm, and then it's flustered. That's what I was feeling. So
cool.
I don't know.
So, so were you... You're skilled in this work, so you're open to the idea that that's not your feelings?
Yeah, no, it's not mine because I wasn't feeling that before. And that's, I sort of asked, yeah, and it's not mine. So okay. I don't know. I'm picking up on somebody else.
Carolyn just wrote, big energy around Sue healing her body, and that's her true goal. The foal and the riding is where she's really stuck in mental feel, and it's overshadowing her real goal. She's committed to her thoughts and not connected to her body or her feelings. Except that Carolyn was typing that a minute ago, and you've just been making a change to feeling that feeling in your solar plexus. So does it feel a bit like a roller coaster, Sue? Up and down?
So, I think it was Catherine. That's actually a good way of describing my day. So if I can do things in my time and I do it so it's timely and I'm supporting my capacity, then that's the calm. But if I have to do it to, like tonight, try and prepare some dinner prior to this call, it was, I had to squeeze it into a time frame and it was getting a bit hard. Or if I try to keep up with someone else, then that becomes really hard, and that's the times where it just, it almost gets impossible because I can't keep up time-wise. And
okay. So
that's where it does go up and down. Yeah.
Okay. So just pause for a second. Catherine, so
yes.
Clearly that up and down feeling you were feeling was actually Sue. So how often do you feel that kind of stuff without recognising that it's yours?
I'm starting to realise I feel it pretty much all the time. I was working today in the shop, at the art shop, and every time someone would walk, people walking past, you'd feel different things. Yeah, so I'm starting to notice I pick up an awful lot of stuff of everybody else's. But I'm starting to realise it's not mine.
Yep. So are you able to actually flow with that yet?
I'm getting better. Yeah, sometimes I get caught in it and think it's mine straight away. and it, you know, you can get pulled right down really quickly. But I'm these last few days I've really sat with my feelings and worked out what's mine, what's not, and actually coped with mine when it has been mine or something's happened that I've actually made it. I've made a difference and actually spoke up about things too, which is good. So, yeah.
Woohoo. Yeah. So the paradox energy, Catherine, can you, if we all drop into that, you know, rightness behind the wrongness. So let me express this a bit differently. Picking up everybody's stuff all the time, you know, you can think of that as a wrongness, because, you know, who wants to go through their day, you know, jerking up and down, feeling everybody's stuff, and kind of having no good reason for it or no obvious reason for it. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So that's the, you know, that's the thing that you could call the wrongness. So what if there's a rightness behind that? What if you were able to flow instantly into understanding why you were feeling that person's stuff as they walked past the shop? What if you were able to flow into that instantly?
Unreal. And actually, when you say that, the first thing that came to mind, this lady walked in and I felt different. And it wasn't until she walked around for a while and I realised it was her. So I went and had a talk, and we ended up talking for about 3/4 of an hour because she was just really lonely. And it was so I made a difference. And that's why I think I picked up on her feeling.
Yeah.
So I, you know, so
there is a rightness. About an
So
what about an intention for you that you flow, that you can flow with the rightness behind you experiencing someone else's stuff easily? Might need to reword that differently. That was a bit clumsy. Trish, I'm opening you up too, Sunshine. I can feel your contribution to this conversation.
Is it good?
Yeah. Because you feel other people's stuff hugely as well. So what about an intention to for that to flow easily, for the paradox
when
of
you
it
said
to flow,
that,
the rightness behind the wrongness to flow easily?
When you said that to Catherine, I thought I could do without doing that. And strangely, because I know about from, you know, when Chris and I did the happiness program years ago, I know about not all the feelings are your own. But I think listening to Catherine, I'm not quite as far progressed in recognizing what's mine and what isn't mine.
Yeah.
But I know it's happening.
Yeah.
So that was really useful.
So what about, since you're one of the sensitive ones, what about setting an intention to just flow with the messages of those feelings? You're feeling someone else's stuff. And it just flows. The answer just flows. What about that as an intention?
That sounds good.
Feel what that feels like in your body and then make a conscious decision a conscious intention. It's not just listening to my voice and going la la la. I'm just saying this for Sue's benefit, really, because this is the first time she's been live on a call with me. It's literally feeling into your body and going, yeah, it feels good. That intention feels good. I decide.
Yeah, I'd already decided that I was going to do that before you brought me back in from listening to Catherine. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
And Sue, the relation of this to you, you know, because I've opened up other people and brought them into this conversation for a reason. The relationship of this to you is your physical feel. The physical disability in your body is your physical feel at work. So what if you could flow with those feelings and understand what your body was telling you in any given moment? Would that be worth knowing?
Yes.
Okay, so set your intention. It's a deliberate thought process, feeling inside your body, paying gentle attention to your outward breath, and deciding that you want to flow with understanding your body. Understanding the messages that it's bringing to you. See, your intellect is so strong. It's been riding roughshod over the top of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a whole person, not just your intellect. You're the physical feelings in your body. You're the emotional feelings in your body. You're the heart feelings. You're the energy feelings. But the physical ones are the ones that are bothering you most. So that's why we're setting an intention here. And thank God that feels expansive. Woohoo, everybody! Well done. Well done. Kelly, I'm opening you up again. There was a relevance there to you too, wasn't there, in the physical feeling stuff? Oh, she's fallen asleep. Oh, God bless her. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's nearly 4 o'clock in the morning in Saskatchewan and she's fallen asleep. So we'll just woo-woo this into her mind. Oh, bless her cotton socks. So, Trish, you too have physical stuff, don't you?
Are you thinking recently or are you thinking longer term? When you say that.
You fixed all your physical stuff. Super.
No. Not necessarily. I did mention, I think it was when the first live session, about I'd been aware of my elbows hurting.
Ah, yeah.
That's still there.
Okay, so here you go. This is your physical feel at work. This is your connection to your body. So an intention to flow with the understanding of that. So you're literally making a conscious, thoughtful decision to flow with the understanding of what your body's telling you.
Okay.
The gift in it, the message in it, the... Julie, could you type in the chat room, Julie in the UK, could you type in the chat room if you're because I keep opening you up and there's no sound and yet we know it can happen sometimes. just type in the chat room if you're awake and you'd like to join in, because I know it's late in the UK at the moment.
No, it's not.
It's early morning.
It's just before lunchtime.
It's early morning. Oh, it's not even, yeah, early. Well, there you go, just before lunchtime.
Yeah. Well, it's 10:44, so.
I know we've had sound problems. Julie's had a lot of sound problems through this. So, Robin, I'm opening you up to Sunshine.
Yeah.
How do you feel about flowing with the understanding of the ups and downs that you've been experiencing today?
It feels good. Some of the time I flow with it really well, and other times I come out at the end of the day and go, well, that sucked. I really forgot everything I've been trying to do.
Okay. So what about an intention to flow with those messages? Because they're the change places. They're the ones with the gift in them.
Yes, that has been dawning on me in the last few days.
Yeah. You're stepping into a whole new level.
Hello? Yeah, it'd be good when some of the static about it clears up, I think.
I'm gonna open Sandra up to tell you the story of her sore elbow. Okay, Sandy, fire away, because I don't remember the story.
That's a good one. It's like you're saying that setting the attention, but sometimes it's nice just to, and we mightn't have time to obviously deal with everyone's, but it can be so quick, because like, so I had this sore elbow going on for ages and thought it was like a tennis elbow thing or whatever. And when things would, and I just didn't get the bottom of it, I rang Jenny, and sure enough, I had basically jumped into my back. I was flying foxes that I was fixing up a whirlpool of them, getting caught up in their stuff, and the elbow, which is the same as like their. In their wing, the same joint, and actually I took the bat homeopathic and fixed it.
Cool.
Now, yeah, any physical pain or whatever, you just think in, get the message, and it's basically, for me, it just goes.
Yes, and that's what I've been trying to explain to Sue, that when we get the message of what our body's trying to tell us, layer by layer, it just disappears.
So what was the message? So you were fixing the flying fox's wings.
She had taken on the... Oh, sorry.
You could probably describe the whirlpool better.
So what she'd done was... she had jumped in to rescue the flying fox, but you've heard me talk about the whirlpool stuff before, haven't you, Sue?
Mm-hmm.
She jumped into the flying fox's whirlpool, and she was so she had the same pain in the same joint in her body as the flying fox had in his, and she took the bat homeopathic, and her elbow just fixed. It was just gone.
Yeah.
So from your point of view, listening to the, listening to other people's physical feel stuff, each layer of message from your body by setting an intention to understand the message that your body's telling you, it will just disappear layer by layer by layer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been everybody's experience. Julie's open in the UK. How are you, Sunshine?
I'm fine, thank you. Can you hear
that's
me?
Good. Yes. Super.
Hey.
Well done. Good to hear your voice. So you've had pain too, haven't you?
I have. I don't really have any pain at the moment, but I was just going to share my experience from yesterday, because one of the horses, I can't really separate them very well, and so I tend to lead one and then the other's loose, and they both spooked yesterday and kind of ran me over, so it went well, knocked me over, and I was fine, I wasn't hurt, and I got up and I carried on, and then I just kind of watched as the trauma sort of came up during the day. You know, I was sitting working at the computer, and there was no sort of anxiety at the time, and the anxiety came up, and then some pain. I got really sort of intense pain in my right hand, and I could see how my mind was starting to panic about it. And so I just kind of set the intention to let the energy go through that instead.
Julie, well done you.
And then by this morning it's gone.
High five.
Yeah, so that was good. I was going to say, from the call, the earlier part of the call, you were saying about sort of making the distinction between excitement and anxiety, and I mean I know that they're very closely linked, but I kind of don't allow myself to feel excitement anymore, because it's felt for so many years, it's felt like anxiety, and I've tried to squash down every bit of anxiety that's come up, you know. So I think that's why I'm having trouble sort of setting a goal that bubbles with happiness.
But that's okay. You've got a goal to have a goal.
Yeah, yeah. And
and in fact, that feels good. Did you notice that feels good?
Yeah. And I have been noticing. I was feeling the tension in the solar plexus when.
Feeling Sue's tension in her solar plexus.
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent.
I also got the feeling when she said about having a foal, I just got a feeling that the foal would die if she. And I don't know, that was just the thought that came up immediately. If she had one. But I don't know whether that's intuition or my own fear around.
Well, it's interesting, because this mare's mother had a stillborn foal,
right?
So when I did a healing session on it, it came up as some quite strong genetic predisposition around breeding issues. So now
is interesting.
When you got that understanding, did the solar plexus, the tension in the solar plexus go?
I didn't notice, to be honest. It was kind of, I don't know. I do get tension in my solar plexus quite a lot anyway, so I don't know whether I was actually feeling Sue's or it's mine. That's something that I can't yet discern very well if what I'm feeling is mine or somebody else's.
Okay, so here's the thing, Julie. It doesn't matter whether it's yours or it's Sue's. You just pay gentle attention and find the curiosity about it. So if you can find the curiosity feeling, it doesn't matter whose it is, because the answer's going to flow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it did make me wonder whether that, because I work in healthcare, and I'm not kind of in the hospital very much anymore, but I just wonder whether that's, you know, why I've felt overwhelmed quite a lot of the time, because I'm maybe feeling all the patients. I don't know.
Trish, do you want to put your hand up and talk about that? That was Trish's really big deal, was feeling all the patient stuff.
Yeah. Am I back in?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I've got an echo, though.
That's because there's two of you. I'll cut off the top one. I'll delete the top one. Drop one. Okay. Have we? Oh, God, I dropped both of you. How did that happen? Oh, bugger. poor girl, I thought I was just dropping the top one, but it dropped. She was on the board twice. So I dropped the top one and both of her dropped out. Hopefully she'll come straight back. Julie, that was Trisha's experience big time, was picking up patient stuff. And once she started to flow with, oh, my God, it's theirs, and understood, you know, and started getting her answers about it, hang on, let me open her up. Sorry about that, Trish, I dropped you.
That's all right, I'm back in. I had to reconnect.
Yes, I you were on the board twice, and I thought if I dropped the one that was closed, but when I did that, it dropped both of you off. So I don't know how that happened. Katie's got her hand up in a contribution to this.
Hey, Jen. I was just having a little bit of a breakthrough with Carolyn on the board just before. Also having a nursing background, I was talking about, writing about, I will often feel when I query with whether it's mine or not, and I will often get no, and I go, okay, so it's somebody else's, so what am I meant to know or do about this? And thinking I'm going to get some big thing I'm going to do and change the world or something, I'll often get, no, there's nothing to do about it. And I'm like, okay, well, why did I have to pick up on that feeling? And I'll get that quite a lot. No, there's nothing to actually do about it. And I thought, well, that's kind of whimsical, really. I mean, I always imagined that I would be picking up on an emotion or a sensation or something if there was something to do about it. And it was kind of confused me a bit. The more I do this work, the more I seem to get that. I pick up on a feeling, go, no, it's not mine. Whose is it? What am I? Sometimes I'll know, I'll get told whose it is, and then I'll get, no, there's nothing more to do about it. Just let it be. I'm like, okay.
So are you just honouring that feeling in them? Are you literally holding space for them each time that happens?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Because we often talk about something we're meant to do or know, and I'm thinking, why do I keep getting this? Why do I keep getting this? Okay, now I felt it, and that's it. Thank you very much. So that actually is quite interesting.
That's what came up immediately for me when you said that, holding space. Maybe that's what we need to do a lot more than it's sort of a theme that's come up.
I seem to get it a lot. As I say, I think I'm going to get this, oh, you need to say this, or you need to do this, or you need whatever. It's like, no, thank you very much. You felt the feeling now. That's all you need to do. I'm like, I hope that helps. So that's interesting.
Carolyn just said, this is about uniqueness. Jenny's way, my way, Katie's way. That's your way.
Just take it all and go, nope, nothing to do. Nope, listen, I'm not, nothing to do. Okay, this is good.
When you think about it, this is such a big deal because there's two types of stuff we buried in our bodies. There's our messages that we didn't know how to listen to, and, you know, we shoved them down and they're bubbling away in there, causing physical problems and mental, emotional, and physical problem. But there's also irrelevant stuff. So so heaps of what we buried in our bodies doesn't even matter anymore, because the feeling was long gone. So, Katie, imagine, you know, here's Katie going along, she feels somebody's stuff, and 10 years ago she shoved it down. Every one of those little moments where you just felt someone's stuff and smiled and flow with it. But 10 years ago, or for 20 years, or for 30 years, or whatever, Katie shoved it down and shoved it down and shoved it down. And every time you flow with it now, you're probably letting go of some of the old stuff too. Who knows?
Well, that's really good, because I was starting to get a bit annoyed. Wait up, I'm meant to be, what am I missing out here? Or maybe got a short circuit going on or something. Great, got a feeling, nothing to do with it. Okay, another one, nothing to do. It's like, okay, is this like a joke or what? So that's really good that you've given me that. Thank you. That's, obviously I get a lot of stuff flowing through me that I didn't recognize or acknowledge before, just flowing through. I just pick up on it and it's there, and now I'm acknowledging it. So yeah, that's interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. And Trish, that was your experience too, wasn't it? Feeling a lot of patient stuff.
Yeah. But not being aware that it back then, that it wasn't my stuff.
Mm. Yeah, so shoving it down and causing yourself big problems.
I'm also, I want to make everything better for everyone. And you can't always, and that causes conflict. And probably caused me to take on a lot of stuff I didn't need to. That actually probably wasn't helping anyone else either.
Mm. Well, when we're not helping ourselves, we're not in a position to help anybody else.
No.
Just pause, Trish, and drop into the, there's a rightness behind, hang on, I'll just check this message of Carolyn's. Yeah, Carolyn's just pointing out that we had this big conversation a few weeks back, because I was personally shocked with how Carolyn deals with feeling everything. So this uniqueness stuff is just so important, you know, being comfortable with how each of us does ourselves in ourselves. It's a very big deal. So, Trish.
Yeah.
When you feel other people's stuff and you feel crappy, there's a rightness behind it. And the rightness behind it is the reason that you're feeling it. Just like Katie just was getting, there was a rightness behind her feeling other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you could just flow with that rightness really easily? What if you could just find there's a, And you're starting to step into it right now. There's a tautness between the crappiness of the feeling and the energy of the rightness and the rightness. There's a tautness between the two of them, where the two meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Your third eye just went whoosh. And for you too, Julie, there's a rightness in your experience of other people's stuff. There's a rightness behind it. Even when it feels crappy, there's a rightness behind it. What if you could flow straight away into the understanding of it and the rightness of it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an intention?
Mm. Yeah. Wouldn't that be a gift?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can hear me, but that would also be understanding and insight and a bit of empathy as well, wouldn't it?
That's what they're experiencing, empathy, yeah.
Mm.
So they would get the insights.
Yeah.
The rightness behind it literally brings up the insights into their consciousness.
Which so is Julie, lovely, really.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. So, Julie, notice the energy changing in your body. Now, there's a, just as I said it, there was almost a little bit of resistance. Just kind of smile at that.
Yeah.
Just feel a little bit of curiosity. There's a reason for resistance. So don't make the resistance wrong. Get curious about it.
I can feel that maybe it's to do just fear of opening up possibility.
Because when you hit this paradox stuff, it opens up infinite possibilities. This is the place of infinite possibilities. It's not your resistance, is it?
I don't know, but I just sort of contacted the part of me that kind of wants to fight all the time. There's a part of me that gets very angry and wants to fight all the time.
Cool.
I don't know whether that's really mine or not, but it's come to the fore quite a lot the last few years, and some of it I think is just sheer pissed offness at the way people get treated, particularly at work, which I'm kind of I'm making a bit of headway with, because I'd watched something yesterday, a webinar yesterday from the Royal College of Surgeons, which was all about sort of kindness and how that actually our work culture is actually quite unkind, and then the effect that has on patients, really. But I'm kind of eventually learning that the way to go is not to actually sort of constantly resist and fight people and tell them they're wrong, because it doesn't really go down very well. So I'm trying to find a gentler way forward.
Wow. So this paradox stuff is perfect for you, because when you find the rightness behind the wrongness. Okay, so let me explain better. Think of the unkindness that's happening in your work. Right? It's wrong. You know, no matter which way you cut it, there's a wrongness around. So now, knowing that there's a rightness behind it, if set your intention to notice the rightness behind that, if that rightness should exist. There. Can you feel the energy changing?
Yeah.
That change in energy, and I'm calling it an energy. You might be experiencing it differently to the way that I do, but there's a sense of rightness around what you're feeling. That is literally opening up infinite possibilities for solutions.
Yeah, I think there definitely is starting to be a shift in general, but you know, it's kind of like turning an ocean liner. It takes a while before the effect is actually measurable, probably. Every little bit is.
There's a really exciting thing that happens, Julie, when you do this work with the paradox around a big issue like that. You have your individual issues that you come up against daily, where there's no kindness and there's a wrongness, and you deliberately set your intention to understand and flow with the rightness, you know, to understand the rightness behind it. And it provides an answer for you in the moment on how to deal differently with something in the moment. But there's a big picture. The thing that's so freaking exciting about this is that when you look at the whole system that is unkind, and you drop into the rightness behind that wrongness, then you are actually opening up infinite possibilities for solutions within the system. And that is freaking exciting stuff.
Sure, thank you.
Can you feel that? It's like there's goosebumps running up and down your back. Catherine, Carolyn made a comment to me a while back that this nursing stuff, you know, the feeling other people's stuff and flowing in the moment was really applicable to you too.
I'm not a nurse, but it was funny when we were talking about that. I do portraits of people's dogs and horses and people, and I actually pick up on the people I paint or on the subjects I paint, which is what came to my mind when you were all talking about it. When I'm painting in the studio, I honestly swear if whether it's past or present in this world, I feel like they're next to me in the studio, and that's what makes me able to capture them, their actual essence, spirit.
Oh, God, I've got goosebumps running down my back.
I always say to the people, you know, I feel like they were right there, and you just pick up on what they were like, and, yeah, it's just an incredible thing. And a lot of people, you sort of, you're hesitant to say it to them because they think, oh, they probably think I'm a bit freaky, but it is true. I mean, yeah, I so feel it. So, yeah.
Carolyn just pointed out something, Julie, that I need to clarify. When I'm talking about that big picture stuff, you know, the opening up infinite possibilities for the system, it's done by feeling inside ourselves. It's not an imposing anything on the outside. It's not us imposing our views. We're literally thinking of the unkindness of the system and feeling into what we feel about it. So the work is done within us. Does that make sense?
Sort of, yeah. But I can feel that. I could want to use it I'm going back into fixing mode, but just from a different angle potentially.
Explain what you mean.
Well, because my tendency is I want to fix things, I want to make things better.
Yep.
So I can see that I could try and use this to push rather than, as you say, feel it in myself.
Okay. Yeah. And the answer is always going to be in your own feelings, in your own, in, it's always in our own selves. You know, we can change. let me be careful how I say this. I can feel Sandra chortling away in the background. because it's a paradox. We can change the world with this stuff. But that in itself is a paradox because once you understand it, would you want to? It's quite interesting.
Can I tell you a story that I was at a seminar and they were talking about the children at Chernobyl and they were all orphans and there was once they'd done the brain scans on synapses and growth, blah, blah, blah. And there was one dorm, one floor, the children were different and they were more advanced and their synapses were more connected. And so they went to the staff, the nursing staff, and they said, what did you do? And this one nurse, she was on the night shift nurse, she said, I would give them a cuddle, I would give them a kiss, and I would tell them they were beautiful every night. And apparently that affected all of those children's synapses. And they did brain scans and that's what they found. So just that act, that simple act, changed those children's lives forever.
Yeah. Well, Katie's feeling somebody's stuff and holding space for them in that moment. That's going to be doing the same kind of thing.
So that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Just a little thing if you could feel and know, just to do a little thing could really help or change someone for the benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. Carolyn says no surprises that love changes the synapses.
There was a similar experiment years ago with rabbits and that they were using for laboratory experiments and how they didn't get so, the ones that were cuddled every night didn't get so affected by whatever it was they were testing on.
They've done the same research on plants and snow crystals, water even.
So the little things aren't so little when it comes to energetic, the subtle is actually quite hugely magnified and probably underestimated the effect that it has. Because it might not be so tangible way. It's tangible over time. Yeah.
Okay, just to wind up, if everybody would like to take their attention inside and just find relaxation around the idea of rightness behind wrongness. Just gonna drop you all there and then back there again. I'm just dropping the background noise off for a second. Just paying gentle attention to your outward breath. And should there really be a rightness behind the wrongness that you could flow with that easily, that you would flow with that easily? So each of you have got your own version of the wrongness. Aches and pains, overwhelm, ups and downs, whatever your version is. What if there was a rightness behind it? What if you could flow with the rightness of it really easily? What if you could flow with the understanding of it, the message of it, the big picture of it? What if you could find that incredible energy that's just starting to build now really easily? I'm calling it energy, but for some of you, it will be a strong feeling of rightness. In physical feel, it will be a feeling of core strength or a dropping, an ease of a discomfort or a pain. Do you want to find the rightness? Make a decision. If the rightness exists, do you want to find it? That opened some heart stuff for somebody. Notice everything about that smiley feeling. Okay. Back to opening everybody up. We won't make Kelly listen to her snores on the recording. So I've left her closed down. Okay. Does everybody feel complete after that? There felt like some beautiful energy flowing.
Yes, thank you.
Great place to a great place to finish up. We're going to be doing more paradox work on Thursday. So whoever can come in on Thursday, come in on Thursday as well, because this is big stuff, really big stuff.
Just a point okay. In advance if I fall asleep on Thursday.
We'll forgive you. We'll do like Kelly. We'll keep your mic blocked so we can't hear you snoring. Okay. Well,
hey, Jenny, can I pipe yep. up again just a bit?
Sure.
I've got this amazing feeling welling up from my core, from like the bottom of my abdominal space. That's just like this amazingly strong, hot energy that's quite extraordinary.
Oh my God, you've hit the Carolyn. What's the name of this energy?
Not the Kundalini energy yes. or something, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's like it's glowing red and orange and coming right up through the top of my head, and it's just amazing. It's like It's like feeling into the innards of a volcano.
Oh, Costanza, I'm so thrilled for you. Do you know how big that is?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
I'm just sitting with it, and it's like this cauldron of bubbling hot energy that's just coming up and then shimmering white, and it's just amazing.
Wow. Do you know monks sit on mountains for 3 decades to find that?
Yeah, I do. And it just sort of popped in, you know, when you said something right at the end there about feeling something about your core, and I just felt into it, and that's what I found. I thought, holy schmoly. That is quite something.
Wow. Well, I'm just going to sit and share that with you for a minute, because that's so
special.
Can
you feel it? Can you guys feel it too?
I'm not feeling it the way that you're feeling it, but I'm just kind of dropping in to share the moment with you. Oh, well done you, sweetheart. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thanks to you guys, all of you, and you especially, Jenny. I really want to echo whoever it was. I think it was Katie that said you're just amazing how you pick up on what's important for people and where they're at and where they can go next. It's just crucial.
I started to do that. Oh no, not really. And I went, oh fuck it. Yes, I'm good at what I do.
Yeah, you are. You are. You are, damn it. celebrate.
The joy in this Costanza is just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
Yeah. The power of it is amazing. You know, it's a powerful joy. It's really, really deep, really profound.
Wow. Yeah, wow indeed. And again, the Kundalini energy is not everybody's cup of tea in terms of that's not everybody's breakthrough.
No.
Each of our breakthroughs are unique, but you're not the first person I facilitated into the Kundalini energy.
Yeah, right. I can believe that. I guess if it's there, then you're going to find it.
I like your confidence, Costanza. Now, here's the thing. I'm just trying to get another 10 minutes on the recording. I've just added some because it would have stopped recording in a minute. How do I do it? It's an interesting question, Costanza, and it's really simple. I'm just authentic with myself around everything that I'm feeling. Everything I'm teaching you to do, I live it. And I'm not perfect. You know, there's patterns of stuff that I miss that are so normal to me that I don't notice them. There's some stuff come up in the last week since our last call, prompted by your generations of angry women, Costanza. I've got generations of resentful women. Yeah, and that resentment kind of reflects itself in that kind of martyrdom thing.
Right.
Just flickers. It used to be that energy used to be really big in my psyche, and it's a lot less these days. But I hadn't even noticed how pervasive that was in my life until I got that insight about a week ago. And I was given a little high five to Costanza's generations of angry women.
Yeah, mine, well, it's, you know, we're all in the soup together, eh?
Mm. Mine was generations of women who all had babies way too young resented it, resented the closing down of our lives to these children. And because we love the kids, we pushed the resentment down even deeper, because you don't even want to acknowledge that kind of resentment when you love the person that's caused it. I screwed my face up when I said that, because that's not even the right way of expressing it. But, you know, the reason for the resentment was also the thing you love the most. So that really pushed it down deep.
What was the reason for having the kids so young?
Darling, we just got pregnant.
Okay, sorry. That was a bit naive.
Unlike my horse.
Yeah, unlike Sue's horse. All of us got pregnant at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, right.
And there's at least four generations that I know of. And maybe more beyond that. But that was interesting. So what makes me good at what I do is everything I feel in my body I notice, especially when I'm working. And really open to the idea of whether it's mine or someone else's, and got to sit with it.
Well, you're very good at it. I mean, exceptionally good at it.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I'll smile and say I know.
yeah, so you should, absolutely. You know that you know, and that's a good thing. I mean, you know, I don't think you could do it if you didn't know it, that you know.
Yeah, probably not. I'm just feeling a bit of appreciation for that. Yeah. Okay, love you all to bits. Gosh, the energy of tonight's been big. Felt like a bit of a struggle there for a while. But the struggle itself helped us cut through to something even bigger and more profound. So that's very cool. Okay. Love you all to bits. See whoever can on Thursday. If not, next week. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye. Thanks, Jenny. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks, everyone.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.